Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
For the first edition of Lifetimes, I'm delighted to be joined by Paul Pogba, one of the most renowned and certainly talked about footballers on the planet. With 35 million followers on Instagram, his every move and haircut makes news around the world. We are sitting in a suite in the Bulgari Hotel Milan to discuss his Muslim faith, becoming a world champion, and why he thinks he gets a raw deal from his critics.
Now you have it again, pushing forward down the right-hand side of the penalty area. Fellaini laying it back, Pogba onto his left foot, he's taking a deflection,
yes.
And loops it past the goalkeeper and in. First blood to Manchester United, the world's most expensive player, the man that has got it. Huge deflection. Jose Mourinho sits motionless on the bench, but it's a goal and a moment and a stroke of luck as well that could be the platform for Manchester United winning the Europa League. Pogba left footed shot is in. France lead 3-1 and Paul Pogba might just have finished Croatia off with a brilliant goal. They're 30 minutes away from being crowned champions of the world.
Thanks, Paul, for being with us. And I just want to start with that level of fame. You get recognised everywhere you go. Is that something you ever get used to?
Well, now, yes, I guess now I'm used to it. It's not like I wanted this when I was little, but to see people happy when they see me or crying and wearing my shirt and stuff like that, of course, it makes me really happy. And if you can share the love that they have for me, and I can do, well, a little picture when it's a few pictures, that's okay. But no, I start realizing the impact of football, and yeah, that's it.
Well, there's so much to talk about. We're sat here now in Milan, but as your last Instagram post showed, you've just flown in from Mecca,
yes.
I understand. I don't know how many people know you are a Muslim, but can you just tell us about that pilgrimage, what it meant to you, what your faith means to you?
Man, it's everything. It's everything. That's what makes me as well thankful for everything that I have. Made me change, you know, realize things in life. Guess maybe makes me more peaceful inside me. Oh. So... It was a good change in my life because I wasn't born a Muslim, even if my mom was. And I just grew up like that, and, you know, respect of everyone. Just Islam is not the image that everyone see terrorism, and what we can hear in the media is really something else, and it's something beautiful. And when you get to know it, you know, I'm sure anybody can find that he feels connected with Islam.
When was that change for you? And was it caused by a particular thing?
No. It came. Because I have a lot of friends as well, Muslim, and you know, we always talk. I was like questioning myself in a lot of things. Then I started doing my own research, I would say, and I prayed once and with my friends, and I felt something different. I felt really good. Then since that day, you know, I just carry on. have to pray five times a day. That's one of the pillars of Islam. Is the second one. So, it's something that you do, and when you know the meaning why you do it, you just ask forgiveness, you know, and be thankful, you know, for everything that you have, like my health and everything. So it's really a religion that open my mind, and that makes me maybe a better person. You think more maybe about the afterlife, you know, this life. You see this life as a test. I like when I'm with you here, you know, it's all share. Even if you're not a Muslim, you know, normally human. We just have to have a human relation and respect you for who you are, for what you are, for what religion you are, for your color and everything. And I think Islam is this, you know, it's just respect of the humanity and of everything.
And the afterlife is what?
The afterlife for that. Well, now you're going into it. No, it's just now you have to know that there's a heaven, you know, and hell. Well, that's, I think, in like every religion, like it's the same story. It's the same story, and you just have to get ready, have our luggage to what comes next, you know, for the afterlife. So you try to do good things, what Allah wants here, what wants you to do. Which for us, it's the Quran, is in the book, and you have everything inside, mm-hmm. just to get ready for it. So that's the guide.
You obey Allah. You mentioned your mum there as well. You obey her. She been the big influence on your life. I imagine from reading up about it, bringing up you and your brothers.
Yeah, it's true that my mum did a lot for us. Did a lot for us. My dad was still here, you know, and my dad was still alive. Yes, my dad helped as well. You know, I've been with both parents separate, so. It's not an easy life, you know, but my mom was very strong, and we kept seeing my dad. She was single with, we were five at the time because I was living with my two cousins. So she was the only one like taking care of us. So it wasn't easy for a single mother to take care of five kids. And she's very strong mentally, and that's that's why we're strong, me and my brothers.
You grew up in one of the banlieues outside Paris.
Yeah.
That area has produced maybe more footballers than almost any area in the world. Maybe Sao Paulo in Brazil is comparable. Is there one reason or that you can understand why it's produced so many great players?
For me at the time, you were just going outside, so we didn't have the iPad, we didn't have the Nintendo and all this. Well, we had it, but we couldn't play as much as now, maybe. So we had to spend our time outside and playing with your friends. And we were always playing football. So it's, I think, in the culture of Bandia, we love playing five-a-side and football, like street football. And in France, it's just the number one sport. It's like coming, I remember I used to go, you wake up, you go and take to your friend's house. He didn't have a telephone, so you just go and you see. And the parents used to say, oh, he's sleeping, just come back after. And you just go house to house and get your friends to go and play football.
And there's a lot of, you know, obviously a big immigrant community there. Do you think that's given, you know, maybe a particular drive and hunger to better yourself, to do well? I mean, it's a big challenge for these immigrant communities coming in.
Well, I think they just want to find something in life, you know, to fight for, and in any if it's sport or anything, they just want to succeed. So you can see in France, we have a lot of people from everywhere, a bit. Like, if you see France, it's really international. But that's what is beautiful as well. It makes it beautiful because you can have a guy in a friend that is from Morocco, another one from Cameroon, another one is Portuguese, the other one is Spanish. There's a lot of mix in France as well. It's good for France, I guess, because if you see national team, originally you had a lot of people from outside, but we just that we are just French.
Describe your first pitch. Describe the first signs of Paul Pogba on the pitch. What type of player were you as a kid?
I was a really selfish player. Now at the time I was striker. I was striker. Yeah, I was number 9, and just went back, back, and I finished in the middle. But now the pitch was hard.
Cement.
So when you better not fall.
Okay.
So it was like this. So it changed 3 times.
And your striker, you were like a Thierry Henry, or who was your hero that time?
Yeah, I really love Thierry Henry. Thierry Henry. I love, like, I didn't have a special. Well, Ronaldo, Thierry Henry, like Djibril Cissé, the strikers, Baptiste Touta, I used to watch.
Did you have a poster on the wall at home, or?
Yeah, I had I had Ronaldinho, Zidane. I had a lot. Yeah, Djibril Cissé. I had. Yeah, that's one. Yeah.
You were born '93, so the '98 World Cup. I mean, you were a kid then. Could you remember? Anyway?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Even okay. five.
Yeah.
Five.
Okay.
Yeah, I could remember. Everybody were very happy. Everyone went outside. Maybe I couldn't say that, but we jump like we were driving. People were driving, and we just jump on the car. So it was a bit dangerous. But now you were. That's how happy we were at this time. And football like changed. You know, when you win World Cup, everybody's on the TV watching, supporting the team. So it increased the football in France.
Someone mentioned that you may have been an Arsenal fan in those days. Is that true?
I was an Arsenal fan. Obviously, it was Arsenal or French national team. I don't know, but no, yes, we really loved them. I think it was 2000 team. You know, with Thierry Henry, Patrick Vieira, Wiltord, Pires.
Okay.
This team.
So it felt like the French, almost like the French team anyway.
Yeah. It was the 02 shirt, remember?
Yeah.
This one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And with your build, did you start to sort of imagine yourself as Vieira instead of Henry after a while? Or
I was number 10 at the time. I just jumped. So I was playing like three, like a number 10. So like I used to watch like Zidane, Ronaldinho. So I was more into them, you know. I love to dribble and stuff like that. That I was very selfish. But I'm glad that I changed.
So you get a hard time from your teammates, would you, on the concrete pitch?
Yes, yeah. But they remember. They remember. But now they say, but they can't believe how, like, now I passed the ball. You know.
You never did.
Yeah, no. I wanted to score goals, and I was a very bad loser, and I'm still. I still am. Okay. Still am. Yeah.
How would you show your bad luck?
I used to cry a lot when I was a kid. Yeah, when I lose, I used to cry a lot, and I wasn't talking for 2 days. One day, two days depends how much I lose.
Okay.
Yeah, and how much, and if I play good or bad. So.
Where did that come from? Is that from rivalry with your brothers, or with just?
Yeah, I would always try to beat my brothers, which was very hard. I was playing with them, with their friends, and I think that just inside, you know, when I play, I just want to win.
You must have had to toughen up to move to England as you did when you were 16. I mean, that's a big move for a teenage boy. Did it feel scary at the time?
It was a hard decision because I was quite young, but I was determined to go, and who will say no to Manchester United anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it persuaded you to go? What was the opportunity?
I didn't have contract, so I was free.
Yeah.
I could go. And like I said, Manchester United, really thankful for Le Havre. It's a very good academy in France. But to go to Manchester United in England, you know, is something different.
What was your first impressions of Manchester as a place?
Everything big, you know, seeing the big Manchester, all the players, the big Manchester United coming there, seeing all the players, you know, because the, you know, it's different that in France, like in France, they're professional, so the first team is somewhere else, so you're not sharing with the first team. And there I came and I sit down and I see the boss coming, Ferguson, and I see the players sitting just next to us. So it was a very good experience, you know, and you just have the big guys and you just want to play with them.
Your first impressions of Sir Alex, he's obviously a huge figure in football.
No, it was huge, you know. First time he came to me, well, I didn't really understand because of his accent and I couldn't really speak that good English. I was very shy. I can see him as a boss. And, you know, he was talking to us like his son. And then I was in academy. He used to come watch some games, you know, so he was really into youth players. He made us train with the first team and stuff like that. So I had a very, very good impression.
Yeah, you were a highly rated player, presumably. Could you have gone to many other places?
What I've heard was, because you always hear something, but you don't know because you don't speak with them, was Arsenal and Lyon. Mm-hmm. And I was like thinking to sign to Lyon, you know, because it's a very good academy as well. And I was young, maybe not going, you know, leaving France. I had some little doubt. But then Manchester, I felt it was it was the right decision.
And even though you move on without establishing yourself in the first team, are you still glad for that move? Or
yes, of course. Of course, I had a great time. We won the FA Youth Cup as the 92 team, you know, the Paul Scholes, David Beckham,
yeah,
but Gary Neville, Phil Neville, all this, you know, this group. So we were the team that after that won after them. So it was like we had a very good team. Really enjoyed it. Very good coach. Very good manager, and really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and then, you know, a lot has been said about why you felt it best for your career to move on. What's your version of that?
My version is, if I didn't move to, maybe if I wouldn't move to Juventus, I wouldn't come back to Manchester. So I guess it's destiny. And I'm really, I don't regret at all. And I even spoke with players. I think it was the right decision. At the time, I wanted to play as well. Wanted to play, so I had some games. I had the chance to go and play. And I wouldn't say it went very well.
Yeah, Juventus could give you the chance to start, and you would end up playing alongside Pirlo in midfield, which I imagine must have been quite an attraction in itself.
Yeah, for sure. No, the Juventus was they were champion when I moved there already. They were champion, so they had a very good team as well, playing with the big players, Buffon, Pirlo, who came the first year. Even there, Tevez was there, Patrice, Barzagli, Chiellini. It was a really good team as well. So and I learned a lot with Marquinhos, Vidal, Pirlo. Was a very good midfield, so say it's a challenge as well for me to go there and try to find my place somewhere.
You win four titles, so that's not it's not turned out too badly.
Yeah, so yeah, I can't regret. I can't complain really.
One thing I'd ask about Italian football. I mean, we've had issues of racism in English football and very recently Raheem Sterling and others, but Italy also has had a reputation for racism problems and some players walking off the pitch and other issues. Did you ever experience?
Yeah, I did.
How bad was it for you?
Well, when I see reaction of others, I think, and I just think about it. I say, would I do that or not? And it's sad. It's sad to see that, for sure. It's really sad to see that on the football pitch, where when people like the team that the fans that do that, they have like even black people in their team. It's, you know, that's, it's even more like, it's even more sad to see that, because they couldn't. So they don't respect the player, and they don't even respect the player in the team. And I just thought that they're racist or not, or ignorant, I don't know. Or they just don't want you to perform well. So I thought, and I hear a lot of things, but I don't react. Well, I smile. And once I have a story, I was we had a game against Fiorentina, and I just came out of the bench, and someone, the monkey, I don't know if it was monkey because it didn't sound like monkey, but it made some sound like maybe a monkey. And I say, why? Then they done this, and you know, I just give him my shirt. I say, yeah, take my shirt. Then they were very happy, and then at the end they applauded me. So, I mean, my reaction is just, I just pray for them and just make people understand that, well, we just enjoy sport, we just enjoy playing football, and I understand that they win, like the team to win, but there's different way to attract, because that we want to attract the intention or to do something like that is really low, and that in 2019 now is really low, you know. Like when you see the world is beautiful with a lot of colors, with a lot of cultures. So when I speak about racism, it's just ignorance. I think it's ignorance. It's ignorance, and you can't really change something because you've been there for a long time. Don't really change. And when you speak, you try to do things, you know, speak about it, and you just carry on. I don't think you can change that to people. Yeah, you won't leave the pitch. You want to play, you will play and try to score for your team, try to win, and that's it. And life goes on. And at the end, they will come after the game, and they will ask for a picture.
The same people who
make
noises.
Exactly.
You sound sad rather than angry about it.
Yeah, I'm sad. I'm not angry. I'm not angry because I'm happy with myself. I'm happy I have a Chinese friend, I have an Italian agent, a Brazilian lawyer, I have a Bolivian wife, I'm French, Guinean, originally my mom, they're from Guinea. So all my life, it's a different culture. So I'm just happy with myself. I enjoy playing football. I enjoy giving like a smile to people, and that's it. That's all I need, you know, in life. Be happy with yourself, being loved by people, you know, family, fans, and stuff like that. And don't think about people that hate, or people that are racist, or people that are ignorant, because they just want to pull you back, I think.
Because there's always a debate, should players walk off? Should it just be fines? Who should get it? You know, is this a football problem or a bigger problem? If you could click your fingers and change anything about any of this, what would it be? Change rules or...
About close, the race?
Yeah, close grounds, or what would be your best solution?
I think we try... everything, you know, putting videos before the games, no racism, having pictures, having like, how do you say this? Like a lot of campaign and everything, and they're still doing it.
Yeah. Sometimes it must feel like,
what can you do? Yeah. That's people, you know? There's this TikTok, like proverb or something like, you want to change the world? And they start to change, like to start to like clean your house. So start with yourself.
Yeah.
Start doing the work with yourself. Then after it will go around and around. So you know, there's things that you can't be in everybody's head.
Mm.
You know, you just try to, like I said, do some the opposite of they do to you.
Yeah.
They want something bad to you. You want the best from them. Maybe they will make them realize that they feel really ridiculous, because when you try to do something bad to someone and you just smile at you and say, like, you feel like a bit low, you know?
That's a better solution than shouting and screaming.
Well, let's try this one. We try the campaign and everything. Let's try this. Maybe it will work.
Okay. You have a profile, obviously, to be a voice on all of these sort of issues. Do you feel a responsibility to use that profile?
Yeah, well, you know, when you play football, you have an image everywhere. You know, you have an image when kids see you. So obviously you try to give a good image. How is the sport? How is football? How is life? Stuff like that. So if you can, if people listen to me or hear me now, you try to show them the way of enjoying themselves without all this problem.
Do you feel a leader? Because, I mean, the video of you doing a team talk before the World Cup final, that went viral. Was that a speech you prepared? Is that typical Paul Pogba in a dressing room before kickoff, or was that because it was the biggest game of your life?
Well, I don't really like to say if I'm a leader. I'm just myself. On the pitch, I give everything, you know. I've always been talking. That's how I am. Talk and try to help the team as much as I can. And this pitch it just came like this. I didn't prepare anything, and I didn't even know I was recorded. So I just spoke. It just came from my heart, and just give this message to everyone. You know, we were all part of it, and I think we all felt connected, because everybody has his own story. Everybody loves to play, to be in this place, and everybody, those players, all the staff, like even the other team, they would love to be in our position, our place. I think we just had image in our head when I was talking. So me, I had the image coming in my head when we were little and when we were watching games. Him, like dreaming to be there, and that's all just came out.
You were feeling like what, a small boy dreaming of the World Cup?
Yeah, of course. You know, when I saw the French team win the World Cup, that was my dream, to play the World Cup and to play a final of a World Cup and then at the end score. So it was just a dream come true. Yeah.
How many times have you watched that goal back?
No, not that much.
It's in your head.
Yeah.
Describe it in your head.
To be honest, you know, when sometimes I just see it again, I see the video, I just can't believe it. It's, you know, I don't know if you understand what I mean. It was just, it came from like nothing. Like, I don't know, I can't just...
Pause on the left foot and...
Yeah, just came, I shoot first and it bounced back and I just shoot with my left, hoping that the ball will go in and it went in, so yeah.
And describe the next 10 seconds after that. Can you remember?
Yeah, I opened my arms and I did some crazy face and I went to celebrate with the guys, and yeah, my family were here and... I had good goosebumps. It was crazy. It's just a feeling that, I don't know, you can't explain really.
That it comes and it, presume, does it go very quickly, or can you go back to that place easily? Can you feel those goosebumps again thinking about it?
No, it's just that, I think it comes once. It just comes once and you have to enjoy it, because then after when it goes, you just want to have this feeling again. So we better go back to... So we better win the next World Cup.
Yeah.
Hopefully now. It's just a feeling of, I think, all the stress, the positive stress, you know, all the tension, all the, I don't know, you know, the fire that you have inside,
You get goosebumps now.
It's just crazy, you know, the atmosphere in the stadium, the crowd. It's just everything.
You're very confident. I can see it in your faces.
Yes, we are.
You believe that it's coming to France?
Yes, it's coming to France. Because we have the best player.
Who is the best player for you?
Pogba. And all the players.
Now, Croatia have been very strong in this tournament. They show passion and fight. Yes. Do you think that it's going to be easy, though, for France?
Croatia, I've got a lot of luck for this game, but not France. We just need to play and we will win. So, we're very confident. We are France! Come on!
Griezmann juggles with it. Pogba, right-footed shot. Pogba, left-footed shot is in. France leads 3-1. And poor Pogba might just have finished Croatia off with a brilliant goal. Kylian Mbappe from distance. It's 4. Are going to win the World Cup. France are the World Cup winners in 2018 after an epic final, a scintillating tournament, an extraordinary festival of football that has been unparalleled in modern times.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I spoke to Patrick Vieira once. He said in his house he had a miniature World Cup, and every time he opened the front door, he could see that World Cup. That would just give him a nice feeling every time he walked inside. If I walked into your house, would I know you won the World Cup? Is there something instantly recognizable?
You know, the problem is, if I tell you that, I'm scared that somebody comes to my house and rob it.
Okay.
So I can't really answer this question.
It's not like the medals on the right, in the drawer on the left.
You know, these people that comes to my house and they know where I live. And I don't want to say more, because then I come back to my house and if it's in my house and I don't find it.
So we say it's in a bank, in a safe.
It's somewhere that I can see it and I can touch it and I can kiss it, and even people can see it.
Okay. Yeah. But we're not going to go into any more.
No, it's better not.
Okay. And you change the locks at home just to be sure.
Yeah.
But it's, do you like to have a reminder, you know, do you like to have that reminder, to have just that little, does it give you a glow on a bad day?
No, it's always good to see it. It's always good to see it, but... You need to have ambition in life. Now, when you want it, it's beautiful. It's super good. But the season then after start, and you want to win something again. Mm. So, I cannot always stay in the past. Mm. So I have to think about the present and just give something, you know, other object or the goals in my life, you know, to go and win it.
If I can, in that tournament, you seem to play, is it fair to say, a very disciplined role, the role that Deschamps wanted you to do. Is that how you saw it? Was that you being in a slightly different Paul Pogba?
Yeah, it was a different formation. For sure, we play in 4-4-2. I cannot play, you know, because, you know, when I play with N'Golo Kante. So we knew what, like, even before the World Cup, we knew how the role we will do. And then after we just play like that, you know? So it's different, obviously, in national team and in the club, it's totally different. It's totally different. You don't play the same formation. We don't play the same player. We don't play with the same manager. And you don't have the same rules, you know, on the pitch.
And how different was that then? I mean, did you find that easy to sacrifice some of the attacking, some of the flair? How did Deschamps explain that to you?
Yeah, in 4-4-2, it's not like quite in a 4-3-3. Those World Cup, those games, you have to be disciplined in this case because otherwise, you know, you can miss something and there's no small teams anymore. So, and we prepared this, so I was prepared and to play like that, and for me there's no problem. And when I'm on the pitch, there's no problem at all. You know, I just want to play and give my best, even though I know I'm not the best defensive midfielder. But, you know, I just try my best. And when you had the ball, you had a tactic, how to attack. So it was very good.
And obviously in 2016, you come back to United. £90 million, big move, big profile and expectations. What tempted you back?
I felt like I left something in United that I should have, like, that I wanted to do.
Like unfinished business.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I left with seven games in Premier League, and I haven't scored. So yeah, now I wanted to. Obviously, I wanted to play again and to play at Manchester. You know, to play in like proper first team player. You know, I came back with the transfer, with everything that come with it, because I would more say everything that come with it than the transfer, because I become another player because of the transfer. You understand? So,
what do you mean by that?
I mean that because it was the biggest transfer of the history at the time, you get judged differently. We expect more from you, I guess. You expect more because of the price tag. And, like, I think is a good game will be a normal game. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
A good game will be a normal game. A top game will be a good game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Something
different,
like that.
Different expectations.
Yes.
United have it again, pushing forward down the right-hand side of the penalty area. Fellaini laying it back. Pogba onto his left foot. He's taking a deflection.
Yes.
And loops him past the goalkeeper and in. First blood to Manchester United, the world's most expensive player, the man that has got it. Huge deflection. Jose Mourinho sits motionless on the bench, but it's a goal and a moment and a stroke of luck as well that could be the platform for Manchester United winning the Europa League.
When you hear the fee mentioned to you, when you first heard it...
The price? No. No, because it happens in Football Manager. I play Football Manager and it happened. And the Football Manager say a lot of things that comes true. So I wasn't surprised.
What was the biggest transfer you've done in Football Manager?
It was quite a lot. And it was me coming back at United. So it was like the...
You moved yourself?
I moved myself. So, like, it's something that... in the game I saw now playing now, it's just it's a big amount. See, he went down when the other transfer came, so we're fine.
Yeah, was that?
But I think it's because I'm a midfielder as well, and for a midfielder, people see more like a striker, as a striker, because they score goals and everything. So that's why he made such a big impact.
Yeah. Was that normally? Was that almost a relief then when Neymar and Coutinho and Mbappe they get the questions instead of you?
Yeah, I don't think they get it because they're strikers.
Okay.
You understand?
You think midfielders are judged?
Yes, of course. And yes, of course we won't. Yeah, of course we'll say the truth. Like, I knew it would come with it. I knew, like, it would be a big impact, but I didn't know it will go so negatively.
Negative, okay.
So negative, because when I signed in, I wasn't used to see negative comments. I wasn't used to that.
Yeah.
So it was a big change. So I was surprised. I didn't know that price tag would change so much, like maybe people or I don't know.
Where do you think that comes from? This, you know, there's a lot of talk about whether social media has changed the dialogue around things like this.
I don't know. Maybe they think I have the money. it's not me. I don't have the money now. No, I really don't know why. I wish I knew. So if I could help them and to get an answer of that, I just don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
Everyone else has their judgments. What, you give your judgment on how you think this three seasons since you came back. What's your own appraisal of how you've done each year?
Well, the first year we won trophies, so we won three trophies. The second year we arrived second, and this year we didn't win. But what I keep is just improving on my statistic, my individual stats as well. So improved. So I guess I'm glad with that. And well, obviously that's not enough. That's not the thing. That's not the most important. The most important is to win. Of course, to win with your team, to win trophies with your team. And it didn't happen. So you know, I try to help the team as much as I can, and you know, to see the improvement that makes me proud as well, makes me happy.
Of those, is there something you are proud of those statistics, like goals or assists?
Yeah,
or?
Improved. Every year improved. So I guess it's a good thing.
You look at those, you study them?
Well, yeah, every year. Because I can make goals in my mind, objectives, you know, to improve. And start to help the team as much as I can on assist, try to score in goals, and improved. So,
you were in the PFA every year. They vote for a team of the year, and you were the only player not from Manchester City and Liverpool who made the team. I mean, that's voted by the other players. So, obviously, you must have been pleased. Do you feel like you deserve that with your form this season?
Obviously, yeah, I was pleased, and. Judging by the players is different than judging by the fans or the journalists. So it's good to see yourself improving, because now we were talking about improving and see an improvement. So yeah, I was very glad to see that, of course.
Where does the improvement come from now? I mean, talk about what Ollie has done, you know, discussions you've had with him about your game and since he arrived, the sort of player you want to be and he's wanted you to be.
No, the first thing we said to Ollie is just to enjoy play football. Really, that's the only thing that he said to us. And that's what we did, that's what we do. Enjoy playing football.
Yeah. And all the way through to the end. I mean, obviously, the last couple of months were not
weren't the best.
No,
for sure.
That can't have been so enjoyable. What?
No, of course, is when you lose games, you don't enjoy. When you don't win games, you don't enjoy. And of course, it was tough. It's tough, you know, because we had the injured players as well, you know. When you arrive at this period of the season, it's difficult as well. We lost a lot of players, so a lot of changement and stuff like that. So I think that as well had an impact in the result. And I think we're still learning as well. We're still growing, try to come back, you know, to the top, because it's been like a few years that we. Actually, you want to be at the top, play Champions League, you know, and go as a semi-final, quarter-final. That's the goal, obviously, of the club. You want to go back to winning the Premier League. That's the goal of the club. So that's what we try to do, and that's why I think Ollie came back.
But he has been quite honest. He's admitted it's, you know, the team has to grow. You know, you see the level at Manchester City of record points. Liverpool very close. Ollie's said that there's still a big improvement that's needed to catch up those two.
If Ollie said so,
he's right.
Yeah, he's right then. he's the manager, he's the boss, so if he said so, that means he's right.
Yeah. Can you just describe his personality and how that changed things?
Ollie is just I don't know if I can say that. It's just I don't know if the word exists. like people call him Babyface.
Yeah, he the Babyface like, assassin.
The Babyface is nice. Just a happy person. He just smile every time. He brings smile to people. Really nice. I had the chance to be with him, you know, a few times as well in reserve. So I know him for a long time, and have very good relationship with him. Even once when I was at Juventus, we saw each other. So we had a very good relation. He's a very, very, very nice guy. Very nice, very good person, and he's really, like very nice with the players. Very close to the players as well.
And do you respond to that a particular type of management? Do you prefer someone who is, shall we say, you know, can talk to you? As you sound like quite an easy relationship, or you know, you've had discipline.
Where you want to go?
I'm just asking. You know, you've had
where do you want to go?
Juventus, Alex Ferguson. There are different managers you've worked for. Do you respond to a particular type? Do you need a do you need the carrot or the stick or the, you know?
Yeah. I've heard this before: carrot and the stick. No, you just have. It depends. It depends what the manager wants. We work for the club, but we work as well for the manager. Like he's the boss. He decides. So it depends on the manager, the relation. Because I know there is some manager back before. There used to be work, and they don't really like talk to players. They talk to players, they just say the team, and that's it. You know, every people that have their own way to coach. But this shouldn't be a problem to any player, because you have to listen to the manager when you say like you play, you have to play. When you say you have to be on the bench, you have to be on the bench. It doesn't matter how you say it, or he doesn't say it to you, or is the assistant manager comes and talk to you. At the end, it's his decision, and you have to accept it.
The way you carry yourself on the pitch, you know,
always play like that.
Languid is the word. You know the word.
My body language always play like that, and thanks God, thanks that I won trophies like that. I won World Cup like that. Body language, haircut, all these things is just just to speak, because since I was a kid, I play like this, and it's not a problem, and it's never a problem when we win. It's always a problem when on other team we don't win or we lose, or if I have a bad performance, it becomes a problem. But when I win, it's never a problem. And when I score, when I make assists, when I make good games, it's not a problem. It's only a problem when we lose or we had a bad performance.
So as far as you're concerned, your application is the same throughout from September to May this season. Your application is the same. It's just the way people, your form changes, or people perceive.
But form will change every time. Sometimes you're better than the other day, you know. Of course we try to be consistent, like always be at top, but I never see one player being at top. Sometimes you drop, but you try to drop very not low, you know. If you're very like you're at the top, if you drop, you just drop like one time, and try to go back. I don't know if you know what I mean. But as well, it depends as well of the team, you know, of the team, of the result of the team, you know. Because when you win, you don't see those things, you understand? You don't go individually when you win. Maybe you go to see, like you speak with, like you see the people that score, but you see good performance of the team, understand? But when you lose, you try to point at the players and see how it's been bad or whatever, you understand?
Yeah, like a scapegoat.
Exactly. So when you win, like I always say, when you win, there's no problem at all. It's when you start losing. Now, we find some other things.
Have you heard that, the way you're talking, you've had that all your life, or is it just more this season at United, this idea of two?
Oh, that's been there for a long time, even when, even before, when I was at Le Havre, when I left, so when I came to Manchester, so I could see, like, I could hear some stuff in journalists talking about me that I left, blah blah, for money, for whatever, for this, for that. So it's my everyday. So I eat it like I eat it every day, and it just become normal to me, and it doesn't change me. I still on the pole that I used to be as a kid. I just grow. Yes, I grow. I've become taller, but now it's just the same person that follow his dream and be the same personality. Well, people that know me, they just will say the same. I'm just myself, you know, and I don't want to change. I think people likes me like that. People will hate me like that. People will love me like that, and that's how I'm gonna finish like I am.
Why? But why should they hate you like that? Just
because in life, there is one saying that you have only one heart. You can't love everyone. You understand if yeah. You know the meaning. So you can maybe, some people, they won't like me, and I accept it. It's normal. Some people will like another player than me. But of course, you have to accept it. It's normal. They prefer an example of Jesse Lingard, and the favorite player would be Jesse Lingard than me, than myself, than Paul Pogba. It's normal. Then people will say, oh, I think Pogba is good, or I think he's a top player, he's world class. Some people will say, you know, I think he's overrated, or I think he's bad. I think the other one is better. So in life, you have a chance. You have choices. We can take choices. That's what God gave us. So obviously, you have to accept the choices, and this is a normal thing.
And you mentioned then about haircut being judged for your haircuts. I mean, do you sometimes think that's unfair? You clearly think it's unfair.
What do you think?
I think it's not the most important thing to judge a footballer on is what their hair looks like. Can I ask you about a few I mean, Batman. Why was Batman?
Because I used to watch it when I was so all my haircuts. I used to watch this when I was a kid.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't want to do tattoo.
Yeah. Okay.
To have it on my skin.
So so that's
do it.
Why not a tattoo?
Oh, religiously, first of all, religiously as well. But okay. Even before that, I think tattoo on the black skin that you don't really see.
Okay.
So I didn't really see the point doing it.
Okay.
You know, so
hair is more obvious.
Yeah, you won't really see it, but I really love to see people with I like it. Okay. I like art, and it's really beautiful, but I don't see myself with the tattoo, unfortunately. And
the broken heart?
The broken heart was it was just let's make this and see how people will react, because they always speak about my haircut, and I just make them speak. It was just a laugh.
Okay.
Like that.
No hidden meaning in that one.
No. Of course not.
The blue one before Manchester City?
The blue one was for national team. I had it in national team, and I kept it. And if people didn't see the game in national team, and they know I play for the blue, and I put my hair the blue, and I play against City the next week after, and they start thinking, how can he play like that against City? So it was just go back 2 weeks ago. I was in national team. Just think about this. Then we don't have to speak about haircut. You know,
maybe the blue had gone a bit lighter by then. Maybe it was more.
Yes,
like
you went like even a bit of turquoise, like light blue. But I didn't mean to, like, well, I was supporting City. What I want to know what people think. Like when I had this hair, I was playing against City. I wanted City to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, but guess what? I scored 2 goals. And I was really happy that City didn't win against us.
Yeah, yeah.
Against us.
You think that should prove really it's a hit?
No, it's just... No, of course not. It's okay. But, you know, people will... they have their own judgment, and you have to accept this.
We've been heckled by your kid. Is I mean, that is a life-changing experience for anyone.
It is. It's responsibility. It's no sleep. it's love. It's being grateful. You know, to have a kid. There's a lot of people that they can't. There's a lot of people that they love kids that they are orphan kids.
Yeah.
So it's as well again being grateful, and I'm really now, of course, I'm really happy to have a family. You know, that's as well a goal in life. You know, you see, like, there's something in life you fight for. These people, there's something that they that love you. You want to give them love, you know, the love back. I think it's the routine of life. I think, you know, for myself, it was a routine of life. You know, grew up, being raised up by your mom, having brothers, the life of the brothers, going, follow your dream, playing football, starting being professional. You know. Then having a family, starting a family, just I think is the process yeah. is the process of my life.
And you mentioned fight there. I mean, does having a child make you more? Does that change your hunger to fight for things, or does it? Yeah, you know, does it make put football in less of a importance in your life?
No. What do you have a child?
I have two sons.
Do you have two sons?
Yeah. Like,
and what when you had your son, what did you?
You want to show him you're a good dad. You want to show him a way to live, I guess.
Yeah, but it's exactly the same. I think we have the same feelings, the same things that you want to do, and seeing your own like creation.
Yeah.
Yeah, your own creation is just crazy. You know, it's you. I mean, you must have this feeling like you. You can't believe that you made this, and it's your son, and then you have responsibility. You have to go for it, and you want to prepare a better future for him that you had. You want him to not make the mistake that you make. You understand? So yeah. you want to. How do you say, Camino? A way.
Yeah.
You want a way, a better way that you had. You want to make it easy for him, right?
Yeah,
easy for your son. So that's the same for me.
And your last Instagram post, you put never forget the important things in life.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, what are they for Paul Pogba?
Important thing is not football. Well. It is football in my life, but it's like love with humanity, being like all together, like no stress, just living for each other. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's important. Like, that's really important. Just go back, pray, like for the same God all together. That's what's important. That's what's beautiful. Because after football is one time. It comes, then it will end. But then your life will carry on, and that will stay, you know, that's there with you all the time. Even, you know, you play football, it's nice. You have like the media, we have everything. We can't even think that we bigger than we are. It's true. Sometimes you're just human, you know, with the money, with the people, with the fans that you might think that you're like a king. You understand? And just when you go back there, you know, you're like you're a normal human being, like everyone, and just be thankful for what you have, be thankful for who you are, be thankful that you can eat, you can walk, you can see, and you know, that's where you see that you're a lucky man, and that's what is life, is being thankful, try to help people as much as you can. Give a good message to everyone and respect everyone.
That seems a pretty good way to finish. Thank you.
Thanks.
This edition of Lifetimes has been presented by me, Matt Dickinson. It has been produced by Lucy Lavery. To listen to household names speak as you've never heard them before, subscribe to this podcast. Search for Lifetimes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. And if you like it, please rate and review the series.
Lifetimes is a Times Newspapers production. To find more of our great journalism, go online at thetimes.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.